Next on WFMT, we have an impromptu. These are supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous contributions from members of WFMT's Fine Arts Circle. And this afternoon, we're very pleased to have with us tenor Nicholas Pahn and pianist Shannon McGinnis for a very brief recital, but you can see more of them because in October, there will be a salon evening with Nicholas. It will take place on October 18th in Mandel Hall at 7:30 p.m. And we'll tell you more about that a bit later. But first, we're going to hear Nick perform some music of Benjamin Britten. Actually, this is an arrangement that Britten made of a folk song, The Ash Grove.
Yonder green valley, where streamlets meander, when twilight is fading, I pensively rove. Or at the bright noontide, in solitude wander, amid the dark shades of the lonely ash grove. 'Twas there while the blackbird was joyfully singing, I first met my dear one, the joy of my heart. Around us for gladness the bluebells were ringing. Ah, then little thought I how soon we should part. Still glows the bright sunshine o'er valley and mountain, still warbles the blackbird his note from the tree, still trembles the moonbeam on streamlet and fountain. But what are the beauties of nature to me? With sorrow, deep sorrow, my bosom is laden. All day I go mourning in search of my love. The echoes, oh, tell me, where is the sweet maiden? She sleeps neath the green turf down by the ash grove.
Tenor Nicholas Pahn and pianist Shannon McGinnis in music arranged by Benjamin Britten, The Ash Grove, taken from a Welsh tune. Nicholas, I guess you've been categorized already as something of a specialist with respect to Benjamin Britten, even in your, you know, young career. But boy, you could do a lot worse than that.
Yeah, definitely.
Tell me about the first time, though, you discovered Britten's music and how it affected you.
The first time I discovered Britten's music actually was in youth orchestra. I played the second violin part to the Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra. Ah. And that was the first time I got to know his music at all. And I thought it was a very cool piece and was really intrigued by it. But I really didn't get fascinated by his music until a little bit later in college. I became really fascinated with the story about the story, the love story between him and Peter Pears, and how that relationship really spawned this amazing creativity throughout his career and all of this beautiful music. And I started reading some of the letters between them, and I was just astounded by just the nature of this relationship. And because of that, I started looking at the music itself and realized, oh, wow, this is really incredible. And I happen to be a tenor, so it makes sense.
That's for sure. Because, of course, Peter Pears was his muse for so much of his life. And I think more than anything else, it's Britten's humanity that really hits you.
You know? He's got a beautiful combination of head and heart.
Yep.
He never apologizes for the masterful technicality of his composition, yet at the same time, it always has this emotional core to it. He's a masterful storyteller.
Yeah. Speaking of storytelling, you've done a cycle, Winter Words. You've actually recorded it commercially for AV, and it's a cycle that's not really in the recorded catalog that much. How did you discover this one?
Actually, it was Shannon here who pointed me to it. I had always known of it, I wasn't really familiar with the piece until she suggested at a recital about 2006 that I look at it, and I looked at it very seriously, and it was the one thing that I got really excited about. And so we decided to program this entire recital around this piece. And we worried because the recital was in Kirksville, Missouri, and we were really concerned about how the audience in Kirksville, Missouri was going to respond to the music of Benjamin Britten.
Yeah.
And so we programmed all these, you know, nice and sweet things around it, sort of thinking a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down kind of a thing. And
you didn't program that, though.
No. we neglected to program Mary Poppins. But actually what people really responded to and really loved was Winter Words. And that really was the beginning of me really kind of deciding to go on this multi-year project of exploring all of his music for Pears. And so we started with Winter Words, and I've been kind of exploring ever since.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a bit about this song cycle, because you're going to do it for us.
Yes.
Very soon. Texts by Thomas Hardy, and each one of these, a wonderful little story. And again, it's all about humanity.
Yes. The cycle is really about sort of the loss of innocence and that moment. It looks at that moment in various ways in each different story. And something that's really, I think, very cool about the cycle is that it's structured like a palindrome. It's 8 songs, and as you come from the outside going in towards the center, each song parallels. So 1 parallels 8, 2 parallels 7, and so on. So in the first and the last song, you have an older person looking back on a younger time. And in the second and the seventh song, you have young people in train stations and the threat to what goes on around them. There's this in both of them, there's this image of this really innocent person standing in the midst of one of, you know, the craziest places at the time you could possibly be, where you see all tracks of life and there's nothing safe about it. And then the third and the sixth song are about birds. The third song is called Wagtail and Baby, and a wagtail, for those who don't know, and I didn't once upon a time, is a bird. And then the fourth and the fifth song are both about a person reflecting on people who have passed and a more innocent time that they associate with that person.
All right. So there are 8, and why don't I just recite the titles of each one before you sing? They are At Day Close in November, Midnight on the Great Western, or The Journeying Boy, Wagtail and Baby, Satire, The Little Old Table, The Choir Master's Burial, or The Tenor Man's Story, Proud Songsters, Thrushes, Finches, and Nightingales, At the Railway Station, Upway, or The Convict and Boy with a Violin, and finally, Before Life and After. Winter Words, music of Benjamin Britten, texts by Thomas Hardy, sung for us this afternoon by tenor Nicholas Pahn with pianist Shannon McGinnis.
hour's light is abating, and a late bird wings across. Where the pines like waltzers waiting, give their black heads a toss. Beech leaves that yellow the noontime float past like specks in the eye. I set every tree in my June time, and now they obscure the sky. And the children who ramble through here conceive that there never has been a time when no trees, no tall trees grew here, that none will in time be seen. Seat sat the journeying boy, and the roof lamp's oily flame played down on his listless form and face. Bereft past knowing to what he was going, or whence he came, or whence he came. The band of his hat, the journeying boy had a teacup stuck, and a string around his neck bore the key of his box. That gleams of the lamp's sad beams, like a living what past can be yours, O journeying boy? Towards a world unknown, who calmly, as if incurious, quite on all at stake can undertake this plunge alone. Knows your soul a sphere, O churning boy, a rudrens far above, whence with spacious vision you mark and meet this region of sin that you find you in. But not of. Watched a ford where two, a wagtail came for drinking, a blaring bull went wading through. The wagtail showed no shrinking. A stallion splashed his way across, the birdie nearly sinking. He gave his plumes a twitch and a toss, and held his own unblinking. Next saw the baby round the spot, a mongrel slowly slinking. The wagtail gazed, but faltered not in dip and sip and prinking. A perfect gentleman then neared. The wagtail in a winking with terror rose and disappeared. The baby fell a-thinking. Creak, creak, little wood thing, creak, creak, when I touch you with elbow knee, that is the way you speak, speak, the way you speak of one who gave you to me. You, you, little table, she brought me with her own hand, and she looked at me with a thought, looked at me with a thought that I did not understand. Whoever owns it, unknown and hears it, we'll never know what our history has. Upon this creek, 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 from long ago. Often would ask us that when he died, after playing so many to their lost rest, if out of us any should here abide, and it would not task us, we would with our lutes play over him, by his grave brim, the psalm he liked best. The one whose sensutes Mount Ephraim, and perhaps we should seem to him in death's dream, like the seraphim, the seraphim. As soon as I knew that his spirit was gone, I thought this is due, and spoke thereupon. I think, said the vicar, a red service quicker than files out of doors in these frosts and hoars. That old-fashioned way requires a fine day, and it seems to me it had better not be. Hence that afternoon, though never knew he that his wish could not be, to get through it faster, they buried the master without any tune. But 'twas said that when at the dead of next night the vicar looked up, there struck on his ken thronged round about, where the frost was graying the headstoned grass, a band all in white like the saints in church glass, singing and playing the ancient stave by the choir master's the tenor man told when he had grown old. The thrushes sing as the sun is going,
finches whistle in ones and pairs. And as it gets dark, loud nightingales in bushes pipe, pipe as they can when April wears, as if all time were theirs. These are brand new parts of 12 months going, which a year ago, less than twain, no finches were, nor nightingales, nor thrushes, but only particles of grain and earth and air and rain. There's not much that I can do, for I've no money that's quite my own. Spoke up the pitying child, a little boy with a violin, at the station before the train came in. I can play my fiddle for you, and a nice one tis, and good in tone. The man in the handcuffs smiled, the constable looked, and he smiled too, as the fiddle began to twang. And the man in the handcuffs suddenly sang with grim vulgar glee, "This life so free is a thing for me. This life so free, this life so free." And the constable smiled and said no word, as if unconscious of what he heard. And so they went on till the train came in. The convict and boy with the whatever crash or cross. if something ceased, no tongue bewailed. If something winced and waned, no heart was wrung. If brightness dimmed and dark prevailed, no sense was stung. But the disease of feeling churned, and primal rightness took the tint of wrong. When nations shall be re-affirmed,
Benjamin Britten's song cycle, Winter Words, Opus 52, to text by Thomas Hardy. We heard tenor Nicholas Palm and pianist Shannon McGinnis. They are live with us this afternoon here at WFMT. And wouldn't it be a shame if you couldn't hear works like that in a concert hall in performance? In fact, fewer and fewer venues are letting that happen. Sad to say. And Nick, you're doing something about that.
Yes, we are. We founded an organization here about 2.5 years ago called Collaborative Arts Institute of Chicago. And our mission is to make Chicago a world home for art song and vocal chamber music. There are fewer and fewer presenters presenting this kind of music. Yeah. And so we want to make a real showcase for it here. And it makes sense to do it here because there's such a strong tradition with the opera and the symphony chorus and music of the Baroque and all of the organizations around town. I mean, there's a huge singing tradition in Chicago. And so it makes sense for us to do it here. And we're trying to build audiences and build singers to promote the art form.
I guess a series of concerts just ended recently. What's in store for us next year or sooner than that?
Well, we just finished our second annual Collaborative Works Festival, and that was dedicated to Benjamin Britten because it's his birthday year of 100 years.
Right.
And that was fantastic. We had soprano Kira Duffy and Jennifer Johnson Cano and members of 8th Blackbird, and David Daniels gave his first recital in Chicago in almost 15 years. So that just happened. And for the rest of the season, we have two programs called Leader Lounges that take place in the Fine Arts Building, and we present singers who are at the beginning of their careers and who are having early success but need a venue to try out a recital. So November 8th is our fall Leader Lounge, and it will be with soprano Deborah Selig and Shannon McGinnis.
Great. And is there a website for your organization?
Yes. Our website is caichicago.org.
Great, great. We're going to go now to more arrangements by Benjamin Britten. And I don't think these are actually folk songs, are they? These are songs which are just about folk songs because they're so well known.
Yes.
But, before we hear them, though, I'd like to talk generally about Britten's approach to arrangements in general. And, I mean, I was listening to the song cycle, and this seems to strike me immediately. There is definitely, at least for me, a congruity between what Britten does and what Schubert did with respect to the art song. In terms, well, the most obvious aspect of this being the piano parts, which
yes,
are so evocative and beautiful. I mean, not to mention what he does, you know, with the musical line that you sing, But you feel the same way about that?
I do, actually. In fact, on October 18th at Mandel Hall, the pairing is Britten and Schubert
at
University of Chicago Presents. So thank you for that lead-in.
You bet.
And they make a natural pairing because Schubert is really the first composer to make a piano accompaniment more than just an accompaniment, but a real chamber moment where it is two distinct voices interacting with each other. And he was a genius at realizing the text in the piano accompaniment. And Britten is exactly the same in English. In fact, I think he is perhaps the best at doing that and with the English language. And the thing about Britten's arrangements and writing, but particularly with the folk songs, to get back to your first question, is I think he's a real storyteller. He's a musician, and yes, he's attracted to tunes, but he's also attracted to stories. I mean, in the Ash Grove, it starts out very pleasant, but in the accompaniment, very quickly, it turns a little dark and twisted, and you get this sense of real pain that's very piercing for the person who's singing it. And it makes the melody suddenly take on a whole new life, and it really realizes the text. And I think that when he's approaching these folk songs, he's really trying to tell these stories. And what's brilliant about them is these popular tunes and folk songs that we take for granted and are very much a part of our soul, we suddenly look at them as if it's new music.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty genius.
Yeah, I know. Tell me, you're going to do two for us.
Yes.
Which are they?
We are doing Sally in Our Alley, which is a very sweet song sung by a young man who is in love with a girl named Sally who lives in his alley. And then we're going to do The Last Rose of Summer because it seems appropriate for this time of year.
Doesn't it?
So smart, there's none like pretty Sally. She's the darling of my heart and lives in our alley. There's ne'er a lady in the land that's half so sweet as Sally. She's the darling of my heart and lives in our alley. Of all the days are in the week, I dearly love but one day, and that's the day that comes between a Saturday and Monday. For then I'm dressed all in my best to walk abroad with Sally. She is the darling of my heart and lives in our alley. When she is by, I leave my work. I love her so sincerely. My master comes like any Turk and bangs me so severely. But let him bang his belly full, I'll bear it all for Sally. She is the darling of my heart and lives in our alley. My
master carries me to church, and often am I blamed because I leave him in the lurch. As soon as text is named, I leave the church in sermon time and slink away to Sally. She is the darling of my heart and lives in our alley. Neighbors all make game of me and Sally, and but for her I'd better be a slave and row a galley. But when my 7 long years are out, oh, then I'll marry Sally. Not leave thee, thou lone one, to pine on the stem, since the lovely are sleeping, go sleep thou with them. Thus kindly I scatter thy and fond ones have lost.
two arrangements by Benjamin Britten, Sally in Our Alley and The Last Rose of Summer, performed by tenor Nicholas Pahn and pianist Shannon McGinnis. There will be a salon evening with Nick. It will take place Friday evening, October 18th, in Mandel Hall on the University of Chicago campus, 7:30 p.m. for the start of the concert. There will be a pre-concert lecture by Dan Huang, who is a PhD candidate in the Department of Music. That will take place at 6:30. Other artists involved in that concert will be Myra Huang, piano, and Sivan Magin, harp. Also, Gail Williams, horn. And on the program, songs by Britten and Schubert. There's a number to call. It's 773-702-8068. Or you can go to the website for this concert series, chicagopresents.uchicago.edu. Thank you, Dick.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. It was quite wonderful. I'd like to also thank our engineer for this impromptu, Mary Mazurek, and also the producer of these broadcasts, Louise Frank. This impromptu on WFMT was supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous contributions from members of WFMT's Fine Arts Circle. If you enjoyed this live performance, please consider joining the Fine Arts Circle yourself. You can become a member right now by pledging online at WFMT.com.